This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Dear brothers and sisters, I want to share with you four oaths that were taken by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran to draw our attention to something. Wa duha, he said, I swear by the morning brightness. Wa layli, he said, I swear by the night. وَالْفَجْرِ I swear by dawn. And he said, وَالْعَصْرِ I swear by time. Four oaths from different passages in the Quran from the many oaths that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken. Now, we know that Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, being the greatest, will only ever take an oath upon those matters that are most great. And the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses time to be one of those subjects of His oath, that in itself, subhanAllah, speaks volumes in of itself. See, it's around this time, roughly in the month of Ramadan, where we begin to hear people saying, Ya Allah, Ramadan is flying by so quick, it's bidding us farewell already. Where has the time gone? Not only is this a valid observation, but it is one that is only increasing in validity each year as we feel that the barakah, the blessing of time, is just being stripped away from us each year. And that is one of the signs of the end of time. As the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Hasan al-Basri, he said, Yabna Adam, son of man, Innama anta ayyam, fa'idha dhahaba yawmun dhahaba ba'aduk, O son of Adam, you are made up of days. So when a day passes by, part of you has left you, part of you has died, hours, minutes, seconds. That's what you and I are. So each day of Ramadan that ends, that demarcates the ending of a part of you. And now that we are nearing the finish line of the month of Ramadan, I'm sure you are wondering, much like myself, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala think of me? How well have I been doing? Have I succeeded in the eyes of Allah? What is my status in His eyes? I want to offer you a benchmark to measure and to estimate the answer. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من أراد أن يعلم ما له عند الله فلينظر ما لله عنده. Whoever wants to know where he stands with Allah, then he needs to consider where Allah stands with him. Allahu Akbar. See, you get an idea of what your employer thinks of you, depending on the nature of the task that he assigns you with. Should he offer you a major task and he entrusts you with noble affairs, you know that your employer thinks high of you. And similarly, if he was to give you petty matters, it gives you an accurate reflection of where you stand in his or her eyes. This is so true with respect to your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. Simply look at what he has assigned you with so far this Ramadan. And then you make your own decision regarding where you stand, what your status is in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, for example, if you have been occupied with Qur'an and maybe da'wah or prayer or real repentance and vision setting and change, this is an amazing sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thinks high of you. If, however, you have been assigned to sluggishness and half-heartedness and excessive sleep and neglect of dua and excessive TV, neglect of Quran, insisting upon sins, nothing is changing. This is a worrying sign that screams for your attention as per where you may be in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have been assigned with these tasks. I ask a question here. Are you like me who wishes that they could have done a lot better this Ramadan? Perhaps maybe you are still struggling with certain habits. Maybe you feel that your heart is still rock solid, not softening for the remembrance of Allah. Maybe sluggishness and laziness has not changed much. Maybe your eyes remain by and large tearless, unable to shed a tear from the hope or fear or love of Allah. But there is something worse. There is. And that is to doubt the enormous opportunity that's now ahead of you. To not only potentially catch up with the others who have overcome you in the month of Ramadan, but to also beat them in the race and to be written with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as amongst the eternally happy ones. This is possible with what remains, as Imam Ibn al-Jawzi, he would say. Inna al-khayla إذا شارفت نهاية المضمار بذلت قصارى جهدها لتفوز بالسباق. He said, whenever horses race and they come closer to the finish line, they exert their maximum effort to win the race. He said, فلا تكن الخيل أفطن منك. Therefore, beware of allowing horses to be any wiser than you. Allahu Akbar, he said, فَإِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالْخَوَاتِيمِ. Because actions are truly by their endings. Actions are truly by their endings. What hopeful words. And then he concludes, Ibn al-Jawzi, by saying, فَإِنَّكَ إِذَا لَمْ تُحْسِنِ الْإِسْتِقْبَالِ لَعَلَّكَ تُحْسِنْ الْوَدَاعِ. And therefore, if you didn't do too well in the reception of Ramadan, maybe you do well in the farewell of Ramadan. You didn't do well in the reception of Ramadan. Maybe you will do well in the bidding farewell to Ramadan. I mean, if the businessman is not planning to trade when marketplaces are open, how does he ever hope to make money? If the one who is ill with lifestyle-based illnesses is not changing his diet during his illness, when can he ever expect to recover and how? And similarly, if the Muslim who's witnessing the last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan is not now once and for all shaking normality off from himself and freeing himself and herself from laziness, they're still not rousing from sleep and racing to Allah in desperation, when will they ever race? When will he ever reform his life? When will he ever change? When are you planning to do it if you are not going to do it now as the month of Ramadan farewells, bids farewell, and the gates of Jannah are about to close and the gates of the hellfire are about to open again? With that said, dear brothers and sisters, how relevant are the words of Angel Jibreel, who said to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Muhammad, O Muhammad, من أدرك رمضان فلم يغفر له فأبعده الله. Whoever witnesses the month of Ramadan but still doesn't have all of his sins forgiven, then may Allah distance him. May Allah keep him away. He witnesses Ramadan, doesn't have his sins forgiven. May Allah keep him away, Jibreel, he said. And what is worrying, subhanAllah, is the response of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to this dua when he said, Ameen. He said, Ameen. That's right. A dua that was made by the greatest of the angels, Jibreel. And that was followed up by an Ameen by the greatest of prophets, rather the greatest of creation, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A dua from them both against the one who rejects the opportunity of Ramadan and does not make the most of it. But rest assured, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never allow the sincere to walk away empty-handed from the month. If you're true to wanting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure in what remains of the month of Ramadan, then Allah Almighty will not leave your tree without leaves. Regardless of how slow you'd been at the start of the month of Ramadan, as Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, he would say, beautiful words, al-ibratu bikamal al-nihayat la binaqs al-bidayat. What matters the most are excellent endings, not faulty beginnings. What matters the most are excellent endings, not faulty beginnings. In fact, even in the example set by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, the effort that he would exert in the first 20 days of Ramadan was different to the effort that he would exert in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. It was different. According to his wife Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يجتهد في رمضان ما لا يجتهد في غيره وفي العشر الأواخر منه ما لا يجتهد في غيره. She said that. What did she say? She said that the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم himself, his effort in worship in the month of Ramadan was greater than any other month. And his effort, however, during the last 10 nights of Ramadan was greater than any other effort before it. Ya Allah, subhanAllah, so why are you shooting yourself down? Why are you closing a door that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept open for you? Why is it that you concede to defeat when your Lord is still inviting you to succeed? And in this, I want to share with you three bits of advice that will be of practical benefit moving forward. Please take note of them, dear brothers and sisters. I believe that these will be game changers in what remains of your month of Ramadan, should you act upon them with ikhlas and with determination. Number one, clearly define your goals. Write them down and ensure that there is clarity in what you want to achieve by the rest of Ramadan, not just for what remains of Ramadan, by the way, but for the rest of your life. See, subhanAllah, when we aspire to get married, what happens? We do get married. And when we start job hunting, sooner or later, we find work. When we enroll onto a course at university, we finish it, we graduate. Why? The reasons why we get things done in terms of our dunya, our worldly pursuits, because of the clarity of the objective. You know exactly where you want to be, in how many years, and how you're going to get there, and the work ethic that is needed. So we get things done. But as for the, I'm going to do my best type of approach, it's not effective. It doesn't get you anywhere in life. So why allow your commitment to the religion to be anything lesser of a standard? Write down your Ramadan-based goals of what remains of this month. The prize is there. And write down your goals for the rest of your life. Do it with confidence. Start somewhere. Number two, create a pattern of alternation. What does that mean? It means vary your acts of worship. Move from the recitation of the Quran to then salah, prayer, to dua, passionate dua, and then dhikr, remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then tafakkur, deep contemplation, and their likes. Keep moving. Because this type of alternation is a key way of dispelling boredom from our hearts. And there is no time to be bored now. That's number two. Number three, create a sense of urgency. Don't take this as a token of a reminder. Urgency. Diamonds only become diamonds when coal is subjected to pressure. Pressure makes diamonds. And so apply pressure upon yourself to compete for Jannah with the many competitors out there. Create a pressure on yourself to save yourself from Jahannam, from the hellfire. Create a pressure to be accepted by Allah and to be happy on the Day of Judgment. Really behave in these coming 10 nights as if you shall never witness their likes again. And any moment you feel a dip in enthusiasm, remember that a single hour in one of these particular nights that are coming up is greater than 3,000 days of actions. 1 hour greater than 3,000 days of actions. In other words, more than 8 years. And that a single minute during one of these nights that are coming up is equivalent to 50 days worth of actions. A minute. It's more than 50 days. And as you've probably guessed it, these calculations are only there for the purpose of taqrib, to bring the meaning closer. The reality of Laylatul Qadr, the night of decree that we are searching for, it cannot be calculated. Because Allah did not say equivalent to 1,000 months. He said khayrun, it is better than 1,000 months. How much more? Is it better than 2,000? 10,000 months? Or a lifetime, as is in the speech of the Arabs, 1,000 months? A lifetime? Allah Almighty knows best. It is more. In conclusion, brothers and sisters, time and time again, we are told that in these last 10 nights of Ramadan, this is when the Muslim needs to exert himself like never before. Because the prize is here, the prize of Jannah. And therefore, perhaps it is appropriate to remind ourselves of the nature of this prize. What does it actually mean to enter Jannah? What is Jannah? Ya Allah, Jannah, subhanallah. Jannah is the promise that we had awaited for all of our lives. It is that home that our hearts had always yearned to return back to. That is Jannah. Jannah is the love which this world was too stingy to grant us. And the happiness which it was always unable to offer us. Jannah is the satisfaction which this world simply could never provide for us. That is Jannah, dear brothers and sisters. Jannah, subhanAllah, it is that reunion with those beautiful faces. Jannah is the reunion with those beautiful faces that we had missed and we had been deprived of. Jannah is meetings with the prophets and messengers. Jannah is conversations with the angels. Jannah is friendships with saints. Subhanallah, Jannah is farewell to sluggishness and illness and the beginning of enduring fitness and vitality. Jannah is the end of restrictions and the beginning of freedom. Jannah is the end of rent, the end of tax, the end of debts, the beginning of true and permanent ownership. Jannah is the home of free reign. No sanctions, no barbed wire, no prisons, no fear of the unknown, no anxiety, no stress. That is Jannah. Jannah is the end of prohibitions, the end of borders, the end of limitations, the end of ever hearing the word no. Jannah is the end of boredom, the end of fatigue, the end of despair. Jannah is the end of death itself. Jannah is the end of the end. Allahu Akbar. Jannah is where we will never worry about being separated from our loved ones. Never again will we be pulled apart from those whom we wanted to be next to. Never again will your heart break as it bids farewell to somebody who you wanted near to you. Jannah is where we will never be jealous again, and we will not want to sleep, nor will we need to sleep, nor will faces ever stop smiling. In Jannah, there is no bleeding, there are no tears, there are no obligations whatsoever. In Jannah, there is no gray hair, there is no late night revision, there is not a single bachelor in Jannah. In Jannah, there is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah. In Jannah, we see the majestic face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is Jannah. Don't you miss it? If the answer is yes, then realize that this very home which was described is up for grabs in these last 10 nights of Ramadan. So honestly, minimize your appointments with people. Withdraw yourself from social media if need be and if possible for just a moment. Stop obsessing about your exercise for just a moment. Give your phone a rest. Put it on flight mode. Turn to dua, turn to salah, Quran, passionate repentance once and for all. Show Allah Jalla Jalaluhu that you are serious in wanting this home. Allah Almighty will not let you down. In reality, it is not Ramadan that is bidding us farewell. We are the ones who are bidding it farewell. When Ramadan goes, you see, it's going to be experienced by many people in the future. It's going to come back again and again. But when you and I depart from this world, we shall never be returned to it again. And that is why we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the best of our deeds the last of them, and to make the best of our days those days in which we finally meet you, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.